You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Discover more about how Jesus is the resurrection and the life in week 7 of our series, Beyond the Signs.
Alright, good morning, 10 a.m. service. Can you give a high five to your seat and tell them, I'm so glad you could be with us today. Alright? It's so great to see you guys back, okay? How many of you enjoyed your long weekend? Did you have a fun long weekend? How many of you, you went somewhere, like island hopping or wherever? Or how many of you here nag-staycation mo? You just stay at home, woo, slept all day. Alright, so it's so great to see you guys. Now, we're down to the 7th, can you imagine, 7th and last installment of our series called Beyond the Signs. And just as a show of hands, how many of you here, completo, a complete attendance mo from the first week? You were here when you started in the first week. This is our 7th installment, and if you're new here, you just got invited. This series is all about revisiting some of Jesus' miracles, particularly those miracles that point to his nature, to his identity being the Messiah, okay, the Son of God and the Savior. And we've looked at several miracles, and today, being Easter or Resurrection Sunday, today we're going to look at a miracle that fits perfectly for our day today, and that is the time wherein Jesus resurrected or raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay, as we talk about resurrection, we're going to talk about a miracle Jesus did when he resurrected someone, Lazarus. I know many of us here today are familiar with this story. How many of you were able to read this story before when you were a kid, Sunday school, or you just happened to read it in your Bible? Anyone here, you're familiar with this story? Anyway, for this story, I'm going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 11. So if your Bible's with you, kindly turn them to John, chapter 11. And we're going to be reading a lot of verses. This is a pretty lengthy story. And all right, so just turn your Bibles to John, chapter 11. We're going to be reading from verses 1 to 6. And verses 17 to 44. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, you can just read them up here on the screen. So let's just go to John chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. All right, it says there, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Verse 17 says there, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come up with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept, so the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" Verse 37, "But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?' Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." All right, so we just read a pretty lengthy story, and just to concise it, what we just read a while ago was another one of Jesus' miracles. And basically, some key people involved here, Jesus, his disciples, and a family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And just to give a quick background, this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were people pretty close to Jesus. Oftentimes, they would open up their house to let Jesus and his followers stay with them. Parang i-open nilang balay na so they could lodge with them. And Jesus was deeply moved, and he loved these people, as we read in one of those verses. And this is a pretty interesting story. And as we will come to read this story, we're going to look into three words as we look at this story: reassurance, resurrection, and later, redemption. Okay? Let's take a look at the first word here today as we look at this story, as we read through this story closely. First word, reassurance. Okay? When you hear the word reassurance, it means to do or to say something to someone to make that someone less afraid or just to make that someone feel more assured. Okay? Assured meaning you are sure of something. You are confident of something. Now, in this story, it's a pretty interesting story. In verse 4, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he said a pretty interesting statement. It says here, when Jesus heard it, meaning Lazarus' illness, or he was dying or about to die, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Pretty interesting that just 4 verses come into this story, we have this statement. Jesus said that this illness does not lead to death. And you know, unlike Mary, Martha, and the rest of the Jews who were not with Jesus at this time, he was still going to go to their place. For us, the readers, we have the benefit of reading something that it would, look at it, it's kind of like a spoiler to the story. Are you guys familiar with spoilers? Do you have friends ba nga, when they would watch movies or read a book, they would want to know the ending first? Do you have friends? I know someone that pag mato siyang movie world, yang i-ask ang guard, what's the ending, boss? He would really ask the ending first. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to be tense. You know, he doesn't want the suspense. He wants to know what's the ending first. Maybe you have friends who are like that. And when we read this verse right here, it's kind of like a spoiler to the story. We are yet to know how Jesus is going to solve it or what miracle is he going to perform to help Lazarus. But we read here that Jesus says this illness does not lead to death. So we would know, we have this confidence and this reassurance that Jesus is not going to let this man die. Jesus is going to do something, even though just a few verses after this, it kind of gets a bit confusing why Jesus did certain things. But in verse 4, we clearly see Jesus' intent that for him, this illness does not lead to death. The purpose of this illness is that it is an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Much like when the disciples and Jesus came across the blind man. Remember last week when we talked about the healing of the blind man? Jesus said it was for the glory of God to be revealed. For this person, it was an opportune time for him to do a miracle to let the glory of God be revealed. And in the same way with Lazarus, for Jesus, he had this confidence that this illness would not lead to death. Now in verse 5, it's also a pretty important statement. Sometimes we just gloss over this verse because it's a little simpler. It says here, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And this is pretty important because it just cements the fact that for Jesus, he loves these people. It's not like he doesn't care about these people. It's not like he's unsympathetic towards their situation. He loves these people. This is the very Jesus that a couple of installments ago, during the feeding of the 5,000, when he saw the crowd, he felt such a compassion that it compelled him. When we say compassion, whenever we picture Jesus being compassionate to someone, it's not just parang he felt sad. It's more than just emotions. Jesus is the kind of person wherein he would feel compassion towards someone. He would really want to do something. Sometimes he can't help it but do something to help the people around him. That's how compassionate Jesus was. And so when we read this verse, it tells them Jesus really loved these people. And this is pretty important because in the next verse, then something pretty strange happens. In verse 6, it says there, "So when he heard that Lazarus was ill," okay, imagine Jesus, he's with his disciples. news comes to him. Jesus, Lazarus is ill. Patay. Si bro, nagkasakit siya. Lazarus is ill. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, what did he do? Did he immediately go? It says here, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, if you would look at the story, parang it doesn't seem to match. Verse 5 says, Jesus loved these people so much. And if that was you, if a friend of yours, if your parents, if your sons and daughters, if your relatives, if people you know and love were dying, were seriously ill, would you delay going to them? Parents, if your kids, if there's something wrong with your kids, if they were seriously ill, you would rush to their aid. You would be at their side right away. But if someone is sick, nga kailan nimo, you would rush to them quickly as soon as possible. But Jesus here stayed 2 days. Okay, nag-chill mo si Jesus, parang, okay, kaya pa. Okay, nag-chill si Jesus for 2 more days. And as I read of this story in verse 17, when Jesus had came to the place, when he finally went after 2 days to the place of Lazarus, Esther, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. By the time Jesus was there, Lazarus was already dead, buried in the tomb for 4 days. Dead na dead si Lazarus. We're not just talking about someone here na just recently died, warm pang body, pwede pa ma-resuscitate, ma-defibrillator and all that. We're talking about someone here whose body was in a tomb, possibly rotting already. In fact, Martha said when Jesus asked the stone to be removed for the tomb to be opened, Martha told Jesus, Lord, there's already a foul odor, meaning nag-rot, nag-decay na sugod ang body. There's already this rottenness and decay. We have someone here who's 100% dead. He's 100% dead. And for the people, whether it was Martha, whether it was Mary, whether it was the people around him, they had a pretty interesting response when Jesus finally came. It's like there's this mourning, this weeping. When Jesus and his followers finally came, there's this general consensus among the people. For Martha, this is how she responds to Jesus. Okay? She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, bad trip. You're late. You're 4 days late, Jesus. If you were just here, yes, I know you can open the eyes of the blind, but if you were just here, my brother would still be alive. Mary had the same sentiment. Mary naman, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. John 11, verse 32. Okay? And for the other people, some of the Jews around them, they had this similar statement naman. Others, okay? Could he, this guy, this Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind, could he have not kept this man from dying? Parang pangit naman, no? This guy, he did so many miracles, opened eyes of the blind, did this stuff. Yeah, I heard he walked on water, he fed the 5,000. Could he have not also kept this guy from dying? Di ba he healed several illnesses? For people, it's like, Lord, why now? Why did you come only now? Why being late for 4 days? And you know, that was the general thought in the field of people. And maybe for some of us here today, we've had those thoughts. We've had those emotions. Those thinking na parang, Lord, I prayed about this thing, this area of my life. Oh, if only you answered my prayer 3 days ago, Lord, I wouldn't be in this mess right now. Things would be solved right now. Maybe for some of us here today, we can perfectly relate to these people, to Mary, to Martha. Whether it be a loss in the family, maybe it be something else that happened in their life. Maybe you felt like, you know, God, parang messed up ang timing nimo. Maybe we felt like, Lord, it would have been better if you did this, if you did that. Lord, I feel like you lost it at this part, Lord. Lord, I feel like you messed up at this part. And for these people, just saying those things, some of them were having those thoughts na, Lord, if only you were here early. If only, Lord God. And again, maybe for some of us here today, maybe doubts, fears, anxieties have crept up in our hearts and our minds, telling us that maybe, you know what, God is not as in control or doesn't know everything so good as he ought to. And you know what? Reading this story, as we come into reading this story, as we talk about reassurance, the story of the resurrection of Lazarus gives us the reassurance that God, no matter the situation, no matter what we think and feel, and even though we think that we know better, God being God is still pretty much in control. He is sovereign and he knows what's best for us. As we will come to read more of this story, when we read this story, the first thing I want us to understand, church, is that we can have the reassurance right here that no matter what challenge, trial, storm, and tragedy that we will face in life, it is not a reason for us to think that God has lost it. God is no longer in control. Parang this thing has somehow slipped past God's radar and it happened. Na parang God was caught in a surprise. Or God somehow miscalculated. But rather, as we come into this story, may we be reminded that God is pretty much fully in control. Yes, we will not fully understand, comprehend all that He does. The Bible says His ways are way beyond our thoughts and our ways. We will never be able to fully comprehend what God is doing. But we can have the reassurance and the trust that He is sovereign. He is still in 100% in control. There is no shake-up or a crisis na parang nagliso na si God. He's still pretty much in control. The reassurance. And how can we have the reassurance as we come across this story? We haven't gotten to the end yet. It's still a few verses to the end. But how can we have the reassurance? Again, verse 4 tells us, Jesus was confident this illness would not lead to death. The glory of God would be revealed in this story. Now, for us, the reader, we can have that confidence looking at this story. Now, though the people, Martha, Mary, all the other people might think that Jesus, he did bad this time. I know he did great things, but this time, I think he messed up. They might have that consensus, but for us, we have this privilege of reading verse 4 and to reassure us. You know what? Jesus is pretty much in control here, and we will get to know more. Now, there's another reason as Jesus delayed his travel going to this place. You see, many of the Jews had this belief or superstition that the soul would hover around the body for 3 days, hoping to re-enter it. For the Jews, they had this belief that if someone died, for 3 days, there would still be hope that the person would resurrect or be alive again. Because their belief was that for 3 days, the soul would just hover near the body. And there's a possibility that the soul might enter the body once again. But Jesus arrived 4 days late. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. So for the Jews, when Jesus came, they weren't thinking that this guy can do something to Lazarus. Yes, Jesus was not the only person to try and resurrect someone. Prophets in the Old Testament were able to resurrect dead people. But they were able to do so almost immediately, a day, 2 days. But Jesus came 4 days. 4 days late, Lazarus was already buried. For the people, this guy, Lazarus, is dead beyond dead, 100% dead. And they weren't thinking that Jesus can do anything about this. They were thinking, this is assured dead. There's nothing that could be done. But Jesus come into the picture 4 days late. It wasn't late. It was intentional. Jesus was pretty much still in control here. He wasn't late. He knew what he was going to do. If he had come early, then yes, he could heal Lazarus. Right? He can do that. He's Jesus. But these people would miss out an even greater kind of miracle. They would miss out even something greater. And so Jesus being late, quote-unquote late, was still pretty much part of the plan. Jesus was always intentional. If you would look at how he would perform miracles, no matter what the situation, Jesus was never intimidated by the gravity of any situation. When he was in the wedding of Canaan, or when he was faced with 5, 10,000, 20,000 people, when he had to provide for a big lack, no sweat for Jesus. You have no wine? Here's water. Okay, I'll turn it to wine. No food? What do you have? 5 loaves of bread. Here, feed it to the 20,000. When he was faced with illnesses, a man crippled for several years, a man born blind for several years, no intimidation right here. Oh, you're ill. Let me heal you. And he healed them. When an official came to him, remember the second installment, when his son was dying, he had to go quickly. You're out of time. We have to travel a great distance. No problem. I'm going to heal that son right now, immediately. No problem. When he had to go to his apostles, cross the Sea of Galilee, and there was this big storm, a storm that scared his apostles. Some of them were seasoned fishermen, but they were still scared. Kaya na grabe ang storm or ang strong wind. No problem for Jesus. Big storm, strong wind. I'll just walk there. No problem. I'll tame the elements. Jesus was never intimidated by whatever he faced. No matter how big, immense the situation he faced, he was always greater. No matter how dire the need, he could always, you know, do a miracle that's immensely greater. He was never intimidated or felt that, man, this is beyond what I can do. And so here, this death, Lazarus' death, was just another opportunity for him to reveal the glory of God. And again, as with many of his miracles, points to him being the Savior, his nature being the Messiah. Lazarus is already 4 days dead. You think that there's no hope here. You think that only 3 days lang pwede ma-resurrect ang tao? No problem. I will resurrect this person. I can provide a miracle right here. And that's exactly what he does, which leads to our second word, the resurrection. We talked about the reassurance, what we can get from this story. Now let's look at the resurrection, the actual miracle that Jesus did. John 11, verse 41 says here, so they took away the stone. They rolled away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And in verse 44, the man who had died came out, his hands feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And as I was preparing for this, I came across this preacher who was actually preaching about this topic. He said, now, you know why Jesus had to tell the people, unbind him, let him go? Because probably the people around him, the Jews around him, when they saw Lazarus bound, gagged, and all that, wrapped, because he was dead, he was probably moving, he was trying to move around. Probably they were shocked and amazed. So, girl, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe this guy actually did it. It's been like, what, 4 days? This guy was probably rotting, decaying, decomposing in the tomb already, and yet he's alive and he's moving. Jesus was able to do something no one else could. And this resurrection, this miracle, you know, has great significance because it tells us a lot of things. This miracle that Jesus did, resurrecting Lazarus, firstly, it pretty much points to Jesus' nature or his identity being the Messiah. When he prayed to God the Father, he said, Lord, may these people who are standing around me, may they believe that you sent me. This was another sign that he did to show people that I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. And speaking about him, the Messiah, this also foreshadowed. It foreshadows what Jesus would go through. That just as he resurrected Lazarus from the dead, he was able to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, so would he also, just a few chapters after this, so would Jesus as well resurrect. But his resurrection had a greater impact and meaning. But the same way, it was a foreshadowing that, you know, this miracle, it talks about him being the Messiah, and part of him being the Messiah was that he would also resurrect. It was part of what he did. He would also resurrect. Secondly, it validates his claims. Every time we celebrate, remember Christ's resurrection. Yes, we make a big deal remembering his crucifixion, his death. Jesus' death on the cross, his great sacrifice, reminds us that our sins have been paid for. That Jesus came into this world, lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died on the cross, so that our sins may be forgiven, so that he may take the punishment for our sins. He took our guilt, our shame, our punishment. He took it all, and he received the punishment for it on the cross. And he died the death we should have died. He was our substitute. And his death is important, but also important was his resurrection. That's why every Easter or Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate. It is good news for us that Jesus resurrected. He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay buried in the tomb. He didn't stay being nailed to the cross. He resurrected. And this is good news for us, church. Tell your seatmate, this is good news. It is good news for us. Why? Because it validates his claims. It tells us that who Jesus claims he was, he really was. But you know what? Anyone can claim, you know, I'm the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I can do great things. Anyone can claim that. But for Jesus to die and come back to life, because death could not hold him, he was sinless. For him to that, it validates all that he ever claimed. All those things that he talked about, no one could say, you're a blasphemer. You're just making things up. Because he resurrected from the dead. It proves that he was more than just man. He was God. He is still God. It validates his claim. If Jesus didn't resurrect, if Jesus never resurrected, you know what would happen to us, for us Christians? If Jesus never resurrected, these things would happen to us. Our preaching would be useless. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 to 21, it says there, and if Christ has not been raised, meaning if he did not resurrect, your faith is futile, useless, void. Right? Null and void, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. The verse said a while ago that if Christ was not resurrected, our faith, our preaching would be useless. And the worst of all is that we would still be in our sins. Because how does the resurrection of Christ give us the reassurance that we are forgiven? How does the resurrection of Christ do so? Jesus' resurrection reassures us of his preeminence, yes, him being sovereign, being God. But he also gives us the assurance of this last point that I want to make, and that is our redemption. Our redemption. Taylor Swift made redemption. Redemption, being redeemed, all right? Redemption. When you would go to a place, for example, if you would go to any store, if you go to a mall, a restaurant, if you're going to buy something as proof of purchase, what item do you need as proof that you actually paid for something? Right? You need the receipt. The receipt would tell the establishment or anyone that you paid for whatever it is that you paid. And Christ's resurrection is extremely important because if Jesus' death on the cross was the payment for our sins, then his resurrection was the receipt, was the proof that he paid in full for our sins, that his death was paid in full for our sins. His resurrection reassures us of our redemption. It gives us the reassurance of our redemption. If Jesus' death is the payment, his resurrection is the receipt. It is the proof of purchase. It is the proof that Christ died, fulfilled his role, he died on the cross for sins. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says there, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he just raised someone else from the dead. But when Christ was raised from the dead, there was immensely more meaning and impact and significance. The miracle we just tackled a while ago is a foreshadowing what he was gonna go through, but also foreshadowed what he would do. You see, Jesus didn't just say he was gonna resurrect. He claimed that he was the resurrection and the life. That to those who would believe in him, though they would die physically, they would go on to live with him. He is the resurrection and the life. What does it mean? It means, again, that being Jesus, being the Savior, the Son of God, through his death and resurrection, we can have eternal life, new life in him, freedom from our sins. To be with him, when we physically die, we will be with Jesus. And his resurrection reaffirms that. Wherever he claimed before he died that I am the bread of life, whoever eats my flesh will have eternal life. Remember that when he preached that? When he died and resurrected, he affirmed those claims that in Jesus we can have eternal life. His resurrection means that we can have hope. That whatever it is that we face in our life right now, whatever trials and challenges we face right now, though we may die, though we may physically die, if we believe in Jesus, if we have Jesus in our life, though we may die, then we will be resurrected. We will be with him when we die. We will have that eternal life. John 11 verse 15 says, he claims, "I am the resurrection and the life." Let me just wrap up with this. Jesus' resurrection assures us of our redemption. We celebrate church. Hopefully, not just this Sunday, not just Holy Week. We don't just celebrate here today that Jesus' resurrection, but we can celebrate even every day. We can remind ourselves every day the good news that Jesus came back from the dead, that he didn't stay dead. The God that we worship, the Jesus that we worship and we follow, is someone who didn't stay dead, but he rose back from the dead. And so just as we died with him, our old sinful life died with him, so did our new life was raised in him. The Bible says we are being raised with Christ. We can have this new life with Christ. And that is why we can have this good news. His death, his resurrection give us the reassurance that he is in control. He is God. His resurrection reaffirms and tells us that we are redeemed and we can have redemption in Christ. And I hope and I pray that as we read the story of Jesus raising Lazarus, we would again be reminded, church, of these things. Whatever it is that we face this Monday, this week, we can have the confidence in the fact that God is fully in control, that just as He was able to do immensely great things in a seemingly hopeless situation, in a seemingly too late in a situation, He can still do great things this week in our lives, whatever area in our lives, He can still immensely do great things. And His resurrection is proof of that.